Well, 2 weeks from today, Easter, that's our Super Bowl. Spoiler alert, we win. Amen. So, next week we will celebrate Palm Sunday. It's going to be a beautiful time, so meaningful. And then the week following that on social media during Holy Week, we have something for you every day just to kind of commemorate and acknowledge what all happened during that week between Palm Sunday and Easter. And then 2 weeks from yesterday, actually, we start Easter celebration. We'll have three services on Saturday, three services on Sunday. So on Saturday, 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, Sunday, 9, 11, and 1. That's a little bit different times for Sunday, but we need to do this because guess what? We're going to be kind of full. So I'm going to ask a lot of you to consider moving to Saturday because we've got to make room. There are a lot of people will be coming, and we want to make room for them. We've got special, just our prayer and our effort is really to give that opportunity for Jesus, for people to invite Jesus into their life. So it's going to be a very powerful weekend, special music, special a lot of stuff, just as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We're in a crazy world, but we have a risen Savior, y'all, and going to be a powerful weekend for that. So make sure you're here. So kind of choose your service times. Also, there are cards that look just like this that are available out in the hallway. You can get those to invite people, to remind yourself, and so forth. And so that'll be a good thing. Amen? All right. Well, let's get into the Word today. Everybody feeling good? I am too. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are in our series called All In, and we're actually wrapping that up today. We started in January. Do y'all remember January? And we're now in April already. And All In really is about discipleship. So we've taken four things that are part of discipleship: prayer, the Word of God, worship, and now we're talking about serving. And it's really important that you be intentional to become proficient in those things. And in doing so, you grow in your relationship with God. And your spiritual growth is the number one area of growth that needs to be happening in your life. So I said all of this is under a kind of the heading of discipleship. Say discipleship. So the root word there is disciple, and related to discipline. And not discipline as in punishment, but that you live as a disciplined learner and follower of Jesus. And the result of discipleship is you and I become more and more like Jesus. I mean, you know, we could afford to become more like Jesus, more of Him, less of us. The other results of that is you and I become more and more happy, stable, fruitful, and blessed. I like to put it this way: the more that we grow in God, the better you become. I become a better me the more that I grow in the Lord. Amen. And the better me is not just the goal. The better me is so that I can be, the better me is better for we. The better me is better for He, okay? If I can play with words in those ways. This is not about us just becoming proficient in prayer and the Word and worship, and then it's just, you know, there, I'm doing really great. The outgrowth of this, I actually believe this, is that Christianity shows up in serving. Y'all are way too quiet for me. Christianity, the outgrowth of it, the fruit of it, it shows up in serving. That's the result of that. It's not just, well, things are really getting better inside of me and I'm better at prayer and the Word and so forth, but I believe it shows up, and this is some of the richest fruit to come out of our lives is when we would serve. We talked about this last week. We are saved to serve. We are saved. Read it with me. We are saved to serve. He didn't just save us to collect us. He saves us, cleans us up, fixes us up, saves us so He can use us. He's fixing us up so that He can use us for His glory and for His honor, for His purposes. Yes, we're saved from sin. Yes, we're saved from hell, saved from ourselves, but we are saved for, that's what we're saved from. We're also saved for him and for his purposes. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, in the Amplified Bible, it says, "For we," say that's me, take two. "For we," say that's me, there you go, "for we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art created in Christ Jesus," watch carefully, "reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works which God prepared for us beforehand." So, our good works does not result in salvation. You can't earn that. This is not of works, lest any man should boast. This is the grace of God. So our good works do not result in salvation, but our good works or serving is the result of salvation. So he saved us so that we can serve. We've been forgiven much. How many of you have been forgiven much? How many of you would dare to say, "Oh, I've been forgiven way more than you"? Okay? We've been forgiven much, and the Bible says that when you're forgiven much, you love much. And it goes on to also say, what does love do? Love just doesn't feel. Love moves. Love does. Love serves. So the basis, the impetus, the beginning point of us serving is God has done so much for us. He's been so good to us. We've been forgiven much. We love much. And that should result in serving. Now, look at this with me, and this is long and wordy, but it's deep, and I want us to get a hold of this. The depth of awareness of how good, kind, and merciful God has been to us determines the depth of love and gratitude in us toward God. Read it with me. Let's be real intentional about this. The depth of awareness of how good, kind, and merciful God has been to us determines the depth of love and gratitude in, should be us, toward God. You get that? So the more I become aware, God, you've been so good to me, and his goodness, his love, his mercy, his kindness, how many of you know also, here's bonus here, it's undeserved. We don't deserve this, and yet he's been that good to us. And the more you and I become aware, let me just ask you, has God been good to anybody? The more that you become aware of just how good he's been to us, I'm telling you, the depth of your love and your gratitude to God, it just grows and grows. Look with me in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. This is in the New Century Version. It says, "You must honor the Lord and truly serve him with what? With all your heart. Remember the wonderful things he did for you." When we remember how good he's been to us, it causes us to honor the Lord and truly serve him with all our heart. I want to share several big principles with you this morning. First one would be this: have a servant's heart. Have a servant's heart. Come on, say it with me. Have a servant's heart. Romans chapter 15, verse 1 through 3 in the Message paraphrase. Those of us who are strong and able in the faith. Let me stop right there. Those of us that are strong and able in the faith. Now, if I said, how many of you are strong and able in the faith, you typically would be humble and go, well, kind of. Listen, this is the goal and the hopeful end of being all in, becoming more and more proficient in prayer and the word and worship and serving as you become strong and able in the faith. So that's a good goal. That's the hopeful end. Those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter and not just do what is most convenient for us. I love this part. Read it with me. Strength is for service, not status. One more time. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, come on, everybody. Beautiful. How can I help? That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but waded right in and helped out. And you all said it together, how can I help? That's the heart of a servant. That's that servant's heart. How can I help? What do you need me to do? Here, let me get this. The heart of a servant shows up as the servant shows up in words and in actions and in demeanor in so many ways. How can I help? What do you need me to do? Let me do that. Instead of showing up, I've met people over the years, this isn't exactly what they said, but this is what I heard. You know, I'm kind of a big deal. I am gifted, important. I think a lot of me. Gosh, I'm so thankful for me. So I can't do that other stuff, but if you got something really up here, I'm your guy. That's not a servant's heart. Servant's heart, no matter how good, important, trained, gifted, skilled, whatever you are, a servant's heart says, where do you need me? What do you need me? What do you need? I'm here to help. And just so you don't get confused on this, where is it we're supposed to serve? Come on, everybody. Everywhere. Everywhere. And so have a servant's heart, but move on from the servant's heart. Keep the servant's heart. Now here's the next part, and then use your gifts. So servant's heart shows up. How do you need me? How can I help? What needs done here? Let me do that. And come in with that kind of humility and gratitude. But then use your gifts, your talents, your gifts, your abilities, your resources, your experiences, your training, your skills. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, God has given each of you a gift, at least one, from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Help me read this. Use them well to serve one another. You all have gifts. Every one of you have gifts and talents and abilities. Use them. Use them well to serve others. I've just got a partial list. Scripture has about 3-4 places a partial list of gifts. And let's just put them together. Spiritual, practical gifts all over the place. Leadership. How many of you know that leadership is a gift? All of us should be growing in leadership. But, I mean, you can just go out to a playground where there's preschoolers and you're going to find leaders. You know, and there's a little guy and all the kids gather around the little guy. Okay, we're going to play cowboys. And then a little girl steps in. She goes, no, we're not. We're playing restaurant. And so cowboy steps back and said, well, could it be a cowboy restaurant? You're going to find leaders in any kind of setting. You know, all of us should be growing in leadership, but there are gifts of leadership. There's gifts of mercy. There's gifts of administration, where some people are just organized and think systems. Some people are organized, and other people have other gifts. There's actually the gift of giving, where I believe God actually empowers people he finds he can trust. He actually empowers them to be able to gain so that they can give. It propels the body of Christ. Serving is a gift. Encouraging. I mean, you know, some people are encouraging. You know, some people just have that knack about them. People have a gift of listening. There are some people that can fix anything. There are people that have the gift of cooking. Then there's other people have other gifts. Some of you have a gift of smiling. No joke. Alicia and I were in the grocery store the other day, and this couple stopped to talk to us. And the lady just had this gift of a smile. And Alicia and I both were like, your smile. And it makes, how many of you know smiles are contagious? Come on, let's spread it. Let's start a pandemic, please, all right, of smiles. Music, cheering people up. Use your skills, use your trade, use your experience, use your training, use your education. Use your gifts. Keep that servant heart. But use your gifts. Next is this, the joy is in serving. Say that with me. The joy is in serving. Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. Verse 21, Jesus is telling this parable, and he says, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful Servant, you were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord, of your Lord. So we know this. There is joy that comes from serving. There's joy that comes. He said, enter into the joy of your Lord. And the joy of the Lord is our, Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Listen to me. This joy, this kind of joy and strength only come from serving. You're not going to get this joy or strength from your job, even if you love your job. You're not going to get this joy or strength from your hobby, even if you've got the best hobby. This is not going to come from travel or friends or fun things or anything else. This kind of joy, this kind of strength only comes from serving. I believe it is a direct deposit from God. It is a reward from God that He puts into your soul when you serve. Amen. I cannot tell you how many times over over 3 decades plus of ministry, times where, just for example, going to the hospital to visit somebody. And you go there, and sometimes, you know, it's not always convenient to go, and sometimes I got to go through all this to get there, and I've got this, and I can't remember that, and to do this, and I have this after that, and you're tired already, and you go in and you visit, and, you know, it's a short visit or whatever, but you go in and you visit, and you be fully present, and you share. There's never been a time that I walked out of the hospital from visiting somebody that I didn't sense God drop that joy and strength down into my soul. Every time. It's like nothing else. And it's just like God just drops that in. And I'm telling you, when you serve, when you help somebody, when you serve God intentionally, you're going to find that the joy is in serving. And that joy is strength. And it makes your soul healthy and happy. It's a deposit from God. And here's the other thing. When you are serving others and when you're serving God, you're thinking less about yourself. And when you're thinking less about yourself, I promise you, your peace and joy levels are going to shoot up. It's when you get in that whirlwind, that whatever of just thinking about yourself and what you got to do and what you're going through and poor me and yay me and all of those things. When you've got all that going on, I know it kind of keeps your joy and peace levels kind of here. But when you think less of yourself and think of God and think of others, I tell you what, joy and peace and strength are going to rise. Amen. So let me ask you, if you have low joy or no joy, or low strength, and I'm talking about in your soul, low strength or no strength, make sure you're serving. Make sure you're serving. So I ask you again, where do you serve? Everywhere. Do you mean that? I mean, it should be full time that you're serving wherever you go. So serve at home. Serve at home. Serve one another at home. Be helpful. Well, we've been married a long time. I know, and that's why you sound like that. Needs to get some serving put in there. She knows I love her. Need some joy. Need some strength. Serve one another. And men especially, listen to me, the Bible, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love and serve your wives. It's in the Greek there. Love and serve your wives just as Christ also loves and serves the church and gave himself for her. Ah. Home, make sure you're serving. Work, don't just show up for work. Show up with that servant's heart. Show up with your gifts. Show up realizing I'm really not working for man. I'm really not working. I'm working for God. Now, don't tell people that. I've said for years, don't tell your boss, sir, ma'am, you know I really am not working for you. And they'll go, you're right, you're not. But just in your heart, know your motivation. I'm serving God. I'm serving God. Show up and serve. Serve the people you're serving. Serve your coworkers and so forth. When you're coming and going throughout your day, running errands, going here and there, serve. Hold the door open. Help somebody with something. Just be aware all day long and say, Lord, show me how I can be helpful. Show me how I can serve you and serve others. And then church. Come on, y'all, church. You need to be serving at church. And this is not some plea for volunteers. We don't want volunteers. We want people with a servant's heart. One of people, okay, I'll help out. You know, same guy. I'll get some other voices here in a minute. But how many of you know that guy, though? Okay. So, but church is this ready-made, highly efficient, highly interactive, fruitful, training, rewarding setting that God has set up, and he wants us all to serve in church and serve the body of Christ. Now, here's the thing. I'm giving a call to serve. Meadowbrook Church, and this summer will celebrate 36 years, is a multicultural, multi-generational church. And by generations, there's seven generations that will worship here today, from nursery to that guy, you know, so it's everybody. And older generations grew up and were trained and learned to sacrifice and serve. It was just part of how you're brought up. You learn, you know, to sacrifice and to serve. Younger generations, our world has changed, so much has changed, and they're raised a little different. And they'll respond, though, but they have to be called to service. And so everybody look at me. I'm calling you to service. And whatever your culture is, whatever your ethnicity is, whatever generation you are, I'm calling you to serve. And every team that we have, we call them dream team. We don't call them volunteers, we call them dream team. And they have servants' hearts, and they love what they're doing, and they're some of the most joyful, strong people that you'll find because of what I'm telling you about today. But every team should be multicultural. Every team should be multi-generational. From the anointing team that we saw up here today, to worship team, to Parkers, to wherever we be, every part of us, step forward. And it's not just to fill spots. It's not just so that the face of the church continues to be multicultural, multi-generational. It's so that you have joy and strength in your life. And it's vital that you get plugged in that way for multiple reasons. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, you need to clap on that one. Now, and when you serve and where you serve, always be glad to serve. Come on, everybody say, glad to serve. And you just need to be that way. Have you ever been in a store or a restaurant or whatever, and you go, excuse me, you find somebody work there. Could you show me where this is, or could you help me find this? Find somebody for you. How many of you know that's a thrill? And you're already planning your next time to come back there, right? No. Glad to serve. Glad to serve. Go ahead and say it. Glad to serve. So be glad to serve, and then serve with gladness. I'm glad to do it, but now infuse what you're doing with some gladness. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 28, some of you may want to cover your eyes and ears for this verse. But it says, because you did not. Psalm 100 verse 2 says, serve the Lord with. Okay, I'll tell you. Gladness. Okay, ready? There you go. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart, for the abundance of everything, he's been so good to you. Therefore, because of that, you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything. Wow, that's not the outcome anybody wanted. Why? How did that happen? Because you didn't serve the Lord with gladness. Well, this sounds harsh for God. It says the Lord will send against you these enemies and all this stuff. Now, let me just help you with this just for a moment here. There are a lot of Old Testament verbs, action words, that are not causative. They're actually permissive. And in this case is one of them. It's not that the Lord caused, that the Lord directly sent enemies your way. It's the Lord permitted them to come. It's almost like this. If I'm under an umbrella and it's raining, I will stay dry. If I get out from under the umbrella, I will what? The Lord will get me wet. Now, he's not like, soak Gilligan good. He's not doing that. Okay? But he's just set some things up in this way. And I'm telling you, the best route for you and I to take, serve the Lord with gladness. Glad to serve, and serve with gladness. And when we serve God, guess what? It looks like we're serving people, because we are. We're serving people. We're serving God ultimately, but we're serving people. And so when you're serving people, it needs to show up. Infuse your service with gladness. Glad to serve, serve with gladness, infuse it with gladness. When we first moved here, we were excited. We had a mall and everything, and in the mall was a cafeteria, and I loved a cafeteria. Back when we go back to gifts, cooking was not one of my mom's gifts. So with the advent of Hamburger Helper, our lives got better, you know, when I was growing up. And I don't know, I just liked food. And here it is, spread out before you for a quarter of a mile. That's pretty good, y'all. So I loved cafeteria, but the cafeteria, when we moved here, there was one in the mall. And there are people that have worked there forever. And this one lady, I'll never forget her, her name tag had her name on it. She's got her little uniform on. She's got her little scoops waiting for you as you come down the line. Y'all know what cafeterias are? Okay. Because I know you Uber Eat and you do all this stuff. But standing there, and it had her name, and then it said 28 years of service. So that's good. But when you got up near her, she'd go, "Serve you." And then you'd tell her, and then the next person, "Serve you." So we're thankful for her service, but I think she needed a break. Okay. And the thing is to infuse your service with some joy. When we first got on this property, we had one of our Parkers. He's now in heaven. He and his wife are both in heaven. We're part of the church for years and years and years. His name was Jack. We affectionately called him Smiling Jack. His name was Jack, but he never smiled. And he was one of our front Parkers. And he'd just stand there like this with his little flashlight deal. And one day I told him, I said, "Jack, it looks like you're forbidding people to even come on the parking lot." So we had to move Jack to the back, okay? God bless you, Jack. Let me close with this. Serving brings freedom. Serving brings freedom. Matthew 5:41, it says, "And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him two." It's called second mile service. It's at the heart of the whole philosophy of Chick-fil-A, for example. To go the extra mile. My pleasure. Go the extra mile. Do more than is expected. That same verse in today's English version reads this way: "If one of the occupation troops forces you to carry his pack 1 mile, carry it 2 miles." See, at the time Jesus spoke this, Israel was under the occupation of Rome. It was heavy-handed, overbearing, oppressive, harsh, and heavy. And the soldiers could actually compel people, which actually means force you, to carry their load. The roads were marked out with mile markers. A Roman mile was 1,000 paces, and it was marked out for a lot of different reasons with commerce and different things. And a Roman soldier could come by and without any warning just say, "Hey, you, come carry my stuff. Get your kids, too, to come carry this stuff. Let me ride your horse. Give me your sandwich." You know, they could just do all of that without warning, without a great inconvenience to you. And you had to do it. And to resist it or refuse at all was to your own peril. And so Jesus said, if that happens to you, go the 1 mile. And when you get to mile marker one, go the second mile. Because what Jesus taught us was this: that first mile, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. And when you get to mile two, step over that line and render unto God that which is God's. And so mile one, I know how I am. If somebody treated me that way and you can't resist or refuse or anything, I'd get angry, resentful, bitter. Are y'all with me? And Jesus is saying, you know, that might be happening there. Don't show it. Don't do it. Here's the cure for it. Step over that mile marker. And when you do, now you're fully doing it unto God. And leave behind the anger and the resentment and the bitterness, and let serving bring you freedom. Because guess what? You get to the end of mile one, what do you got to do next? You got to walk back home a mile. You're going to walk back and show back up angry, bitter, resentful? No, Jesus said, go ahead and walk the two. And guess what you got to do? You got to walk back two. And you know what? You can walk back free, because serving sets you free, because the joy comes back to you. Amen? Amen. So, have a servant's heart. God's been so good to you. Have a servant's heart. You're saved to serve. Use your gifts. Use your abilities. Serving's going to bring a joy that you can't find anywhere else, and that joy is going to be strength you can't find anywhere else. Be glad to serve. Serve with gladness. And know that serving brings freedom. When all of that happens, do you know what's going to happen on the inside of you? Healthy, happy, whole. You're going to be more and more happy and stable, fruitful, and blessed, and being a blessing, and bringing glory to God. Amen? Did y'all get anything at all out of this today? I pray so.